A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sim. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 227. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are continuing our discussion of Time Trumpet. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, I almost feel there should be a fanfare whenever we say Time Trumpet, Brian. This is a satirical look back at Britain in the 2000s, played for comic effect. 6 30-minute episodes broadcast on BBC Two in 2006. And it's a well-known team of TV satirists and comedians getting together to comment on the sort of current events of the time and using this format of a future television show, the titular Time Trumpet, which is set 25 years in the future then, in 2031, where it's looking back at the events of the early 2000s, sometimes manipulating them for comic effect, sometimes making up some strange bits and pieces. I guess a 2006 programme holding up a mirror to British society and poking some fun at it.
That's right. It was looking back at the 25 years which were actually in the immediate future at the time it was produced, and definitely doing it as a satire. So looking at a bit more of what was going on in the show, you had these talking head commentators, as you often would in an actual documentary-type show like this was set up as. And in this case, the commentators were comedians with, you know, their own names posted on screen, so they were playing themselves. People like Adam Buxton, Joan Neary, and also Richard Iotti. And they also edited and manipulated real news clips for comic effect. So they would have various politicians and celebrities and other people in clips that were taken and used in clever ways to present these future events. They also had some excerpts of future TV shows, so they did little sketches that were meant to be from other shows, including shows like Rape an Ape and Honey, I Shrunk Martha Kearney. So some very odd things there with some questionable taste, but they did go into some of these types of things in the series.
Yes, it is in many respects a bizarre show that we're talking about here. And as we've said, they've also got this idea of interviewing celebrities from the time period, but they've got celebrities who've been aged by 25 years and are played by actors. So we have people playing older versions of some well-known British figures from popular culture, celebrities, politicians. We have versions of Tony Blair and Gordon Brown. We have Alistair Campbell, who was the real-life spin doctor who's possibly inspired Peter Capaldi's character of Malcolm Tucker in the show The Thick of It. We've got the footballer David Beckham, we've got Bob Geldof, we've got television presenters like Anton Deck and Anne Robinson, we've even got Sebastian Coe, all played by actors to a varying degree of success, I suppose, in terms of impersonating a real person. We have comments on the character of these celebrities. So we have aspects of the increasingly weird fashion choices of David Beckham. And of course, we have this sort of feature at almost at the end of every episode where they trail that in the next episode they will look at the increasingly bizarre behaviour of Tom Cruise, and they'll play a short clip of an actor playing the older Tom Cruise, and indeed making some various well, let's say, exaggerated claims and statements at the end of each episode. And I don't think they're followed up in the next episode. They're just used as sort of teasers for us.
Yes, there's always a teaser at the end of each episode saying the next episode will have the interview with Tom Cruise. And they finally have that interview in the last episode. And it's definitely sort of having a go and a satirical take on Tom Cruise. Possibly better than some of the other takes they have on the older versions of celebrities.
So, clearly this show, intended as a satire of British culture in the early part of the 21st century, looking at the perhaps strange way that they thought British television was going, with some bizarre and perhaps unfortunate and crass reality-type shows. And so here's Time Trumpet sort of mirroring this by looking back at it and really having a go at this sort of popular culture and the way things they were going as they saw it. Produced, as we've said before, by Armando Iannucci, who is well known for his TV satires. In particular, we know about his series of programs that he made with Steve Coogan, with Coogan playing the part of a minor TV celebrity, Alan Partridge, and his downward spiral of his life. Those Alan Partridge shows, you know, I think thanks in no small part to Stephen Coogan's performance, they are quite marvellous and extremely funny. But he's got other shows that have also been very successful, Brian.
Yes, The Thick of It is a very successful show for Iannucci about the fictional Department of Social Affairs and Citizenship in the British government, which, of course, features Peter Capaldi, which he was doing before he became the 12th Doctor on Doctor Who. He was playing Malcolm Tucker, and sort of this wonderful character who was a spin doctor and known for very foul-mouthed languages and lots of insults. And having this department dealing with an out-of-control news cycle and all of this stuff with spinning the news and so on. There was also a film version of that called In the Loop.
Yes, and they've also they've had a go at American politics in a similar fashion, because Iannucci and his team are partly responsible for the show Veep, with the actress, I believe, is it Julianne Dreyfus, who was from Seinfeld?
Oh, that's right, yes.
And that's another successful take, I think, on political satire, this time across the pond in America.
Unfortunately, Time Trumpet, which came along after some of these other shows, never really matched their success and didn't go over quite as well, I think.
No, and it's perhaps interesting to speculate why it wasn't quite so successful. You know, certainly TV shows that look back at the past, real TV shows that look back at the past with modern day commentators are, I presume, a fairly cheap production for a television company. So there's quite a few of them happening where we look back at the 80s or the 90s and so on. I'm minded to think of the commentator and TV writer and presenter Charlie Brooker. And now he does a series of television shows called Screen Wipe and News Wipe, where he's actually doing what Time Trumpet sets out to do, where he's looking at current television and news items. And I think there's a far more successful and perhaps in a way more satirical even than Time Trumpet manages to be.
Yeah, it's a very different concept when you're looking at actual current events rather than doing this possibly more ambitious look into the future.
And Charlie Brooker is an interesting character to mention while we're talking about Armando Iannucci, because he's written his own TV fiction. He is the writer of a series called Black Mirror, which began in 2011, a series of dramas that again hold up the literal mirror to British society and the way things are developing in our near future. And that's a show that, interestingly, has recently been picked up by Netflix, who are going to produce new episodes. So in a way, it's a current show, and we tend not to cover current shows, but who knows? Black Mirror might be a suitable subject for us at some point in the future. Maybe not as far ahead as 2031. We might get to it before then, Brian.
Yes, maybe. Brooker is definitely an interesting writer, so we may cover some of his stuff one of these times. Now, we wouldn't really expect to have spin-offs from Time Trumpet, but there almost is one, because the fourth episode featured a Polish soap opera becoming a huge hit when it was dubbed with Irish voices.
Yes, this is a completely unexpected twist to a slightly bizarre limited series of six episodes from Time Trumpet, because the Irish broadcaster, RTE, presumably thought this was a terrific idea, and so they bought this Polish TV soap opera, and all they've done is just added Irish voices, sort of dubbed over the actors' mouth movements, to comic effect, basically, to produce a rather bizarre and comical storyline of their own. And this show is called Soupy Norman, or was called Soupy Norman, and was broadcast in 2007. Watch a few clips of it on YouTube and you'll get the idea that this is a bizarre concoction, really.
And very strange that it would come so very close to the little bit that we saw in Time Trumpet.
Absolutely, yes. As I say, somebody must have been watching and thinking, that's a very good idea, we'll go with that.
There were also references from Alan Moore, of all people, right?
Yes, that's right. Alan Moore's Alternate History of Britain, which is in the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen graphic novels and comics. He's interested in all sorts of alternate portrayals of Britain through the last 150 years, and he makes several references to The Thick of It, which is in the comics assumed to be the real government, and he also makes reference to a couple of the bizarre shows from Time Trumpet, including, I think at one point, Rape and Ape, that unfortunately named television show, crops up in The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. So another bizarre crossover in a strange way.
Yes, indeed. Some strange things, but interesting to see some references to this show coming up in different places. So we should get into some of our own thoughts about Time Trumpet. So, Eamon, what did you like about Time Trumpet?
Okay, well, as we often do when we get to our own opinions, we like to preface them with this disclaimer, and my disclaimer would be that we know television comedy is perhaps one of the hardest things to pull off, and satire can be very, very hard indeed. So, with that disclaimer, let's say that it does look very nice. So, I think the impressive visual effects on screen, particularly when you have the comedians sitting in their chairs being interviewed by Iannucci, and I presume that's all a created and projected backdrop, and it looks fantastic. It looks suitably modern and futuristic. So, that part of it is very good. And I suspect that the editors and visual effects people were really earning their pay by going back and finding all these clips and producing these strange montages and so on. And some of those, I think, look very good. Whether they're completely successful as pieces of humour, we'll get to in a moment.
The packaging to make it look like this future documentary series is very well done. It really looks like something that you could see as a program looking back. And even now, 9 years later, it still looks like a fairly futuristic thing. It isn't looking particularly dated to me. Especially the title sequence, I think, looks just right for a program of this type, what you might expect it to have. So the look and the sort of packaging of it and how it flows as a future documentary, I think was very well done.
Yes, I would agree. The title sequence is fabby. You know, nice images, nice music, nicely animated. It all looks very good. And as you say, it hasn't really aged or dated at all. It still looks believably futuristic.
Now, I think we're going to have to come to some of the things that we were not as satisfied with for this. And I think when it comes down to it, most of it was just not very funny. At least it wasn't to me.
Yes, I think, you know, as listeners will probably suspect it as we've gone along, the big problem for Time Trumpet is it just isn't funny enough. The writing lets it down, unfortunately. It does seem to spend rather a lot of time going off into odd little cul-de-sacs of strange jokes that they're trying to pull off, most of which don't succeed, I think. And more often than not, it's just we're watching this in disbelief, really, that they try in this often puerile attempts at humour, which just don't work.
I did like the idea of Tesco's invading a foreign country as a military invasion, and how that was showed and how they went into that was amusing. That was one of the things that I did find funny that I thought worked fairly well. But most of the things that they did in these little digressions and various things were not particularly funny.
No, and when they manipulated news clips to make the people involved look a bit dumb, it doesn't really work. And as I said before, it just looks a bit childish and not funny enough, really. I didn't see it at the time in 2006, and looking at it now, it does look a little bit, well, just strange.
Yeah, and you have these TV series that they're presenting as these were the future TV shows. And I like the idea that they were saying that television, and especially reality television, was becoming less interesting in some ways and more crass and less subtle. And, you know, they sort of went a few steps further down that route in these new shows they were creating. I like that idea. And the fact that they were, many of them, sort of deliberately tasteless ideas was fine. And I would have been more accepting of their, the poor taste of those had they been more funny ideas, but most of them just weren't.
Yes, and, you know, just as real life events overtook episode 3 in the original broadcast, since it was broadcast, of course, there's been more real life events that have overtaken it. And if it had been funnier at the time, perhaps we would forgive it. But it, you know, now looking back, it all just looks to be in poor taste, at least in places. And it is also, as we've mentioned, as we've gone along, it is incredibly British-centric. Apart from Tom Cruise, Tony Blair and David Beckham, I think a lot of the figures referred to are only, you know, you'll only know them if you watched British television or you're familiar with the more intricate details of British politics. And so for audiences outside the UK, I'm sure it would just leave them completely baffled. For, you know, even for an audience inside it, you know, some of the TV presenters being lampooned and impersonated don't quite ring home with me either.
It does assume more familiarity with British culture and television of the time than anything else we've covered on British Invaders. The vast majority of things that we've covered, I would say you could certainly watch with very little British-specific knowledge, and you'll be just fine. But this is something that really sort of ties into a lot of things. And a lot of it because I watch a lot of British television and I do follow things there quite a bit. You know, a lot of it were things that I was aware of, but I still found that I was missing quite a number of things and didn't know the actors and celebrities that they were lampooning in some cases, or didn't know them that well. So I knew the names and I sort of knew what they were associated with, but I didn't remember the details. And, you know, when they show the older version of a celebrity, they're not always showing what the real one looked like or clips of their real shows and things like that. So they do sort of assume a lot that way.
Yes. As you say, not entirely successful as a form of lampoon. And it's a shame because, as we've said, an impressive roster of creators and performers, you know, Armando Iannucci himself, comedians like Adam Buxton, Stuart Lee and Richard Ayoade, you know, people involved, very, very good, but it just seems like a waste of their talents, unfortunately.
Yes, this is one of those cases where you have lots of good people behind it and a good premise, and it just didn't quite come together and didn't quite work. And in this case, the satire of it really didn't work that well, which was too bad.
Yes, a shame. A miss rather than a hit.
So I think we should come around to our recommendations. I will start with this one, and as you might guess, I really can't recommend Time Trumpet. It is a nice idea to go 25 years in the future and look back at those 25 years and treat it as a satire of current pop culture and current television. Unfortunately, it really doesn't work. The satire and the humor is just not successful as far as I'm concerned. So I would not recommend this one.
Okay, it's going to be obviously likewise from me, with the provisos that I've said before that TV comedy is very hard, but Time Trumpet is truly terrible. And quite honestly, Brian, I would rather watch Star Maidens again than go through any more Time Trumpet.
Oh my, that's quite a condemnation there, Eamon.
Absolutely. I would point out that the complete thick of it, which is a far more successful show, which I think is open to viewers from both sides of the Atlantic, is currently about £15 here, or it's, if you have Amazon Instant or Netflix, it's available on both of those. So I would say don't watch Time Trumpet, go and track down The Thick of It, which is a much better show.
Or if you want political satire from an earlier era, go for Yes Minister and Yes Prime Minister.
Absolutely. Or House of Cards, even.
Yes, going more into the serious political shows. There are a variety of things out there. Unfortunately, Time Trumpet is not one that worked for us.
But of course, if you think we've got that wrong, if you see the good side of Time Trumpet, if you admired it at the time or since, please do get in touch and tell us why we're wrong.
Yes, please do. So, in summary, Time Trumpet was a political satire from 2006 that was designed to be a documentary from 2031 that was looking back over the previous 25 years. And it used clips of current news coverage and political shows and manipulated them to show these future events. And it had actors playing older versions of celebrities. It had comedians of the time appearing as commentators, appearing as themselves. It also had newly made clips of future television series that they were predicting might happen. In this sort of timeline of the future done in documentary style.
A strange and unusual show for us to discuss here on British Invaders.
Yes, indeed.
But do come back and join us next time when we're perhaps on safer ground. We're going back to an earlier era of TV. We are on ITV in 1969 and we're looking at Alan Garner's adaptation of his own very successful folk horror novel for older children, The Owl Service. So some weird and wonderful myth and legend to talk about then, Brian.
I don't know if it's less bizarre, but it certainly has some interesting things in it. So until then, you can find us at BritishInvaders.com. Or if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find our Facebook group and you can join in with our discussions there.
or come along and listen to British Invaders on a Monday and a Tuesday at the very successful Voice of Geeks internet streaming radio network. That's at vognetwork.com. That's where to point your browser. And as well as our own shows, you'll find Community and several other shows that might catch your interest. So do drop by vognetwork.com and tell them we sent you.
Yes, indeed. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thanks very much for being with us. And until next time, it's Eamon in England suggesting that you really don't watch this trumpet voluntary.